Thanks, blessings, Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, November 15th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. The Zimbabwe National Army says it has nothing to do with ZANU-PF factionalism currently ravaging the party ahead of its elective congress in December.
The army plays a very critical role in this whole succession debate, which, if you look at it, the army has got serious interest in terms of the dam or the interest in terms of the economy of the country.
A Zimbabwean company will next month hold a business expo in Kariba designed to cater for the interests of local and international businesses.
It is running for the third time this year. We launched it in 2012, so this time is the third edition of the exhibition.
And Zimbabweans living in Botswana organized a community event in an effort to preserve some important cultural norms. Stay tuned. The Zimbabwe National Army says it has nothing to do with ZANU-PF factionalism currently ravaging the party ahead of its elective congress in December. ZNA spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Overseen Mukwisi tells Studio 7 they are not interested in the ZANU-PF conflict pitting two rival factions fighting for the control of the party. The army's remarks comes at a time when the party's Politburo recently suspended ZANU-PF spokesman Rukari Kumbo and War Veterans leader Jabulani Sibanda. Political analyst Dumisani Nkomo of Habakkuk Trust tells Studio 7 the army cannot be ruled out of the ZANU-PF politics.
I think the army plays a very critical role in this whole succession debate, because if you look at it, the army has got serious interest in terms of the dam or the interests in terms of the economy of the country. They actually have a stake in it, and because of that, they want to defend and protect their interests. So it's very possible that the army is going to play a very critical role in determining who eventually becomes one of the vice presidents, or which two people become vice president, and which individual actually succeeds Robert Mugabe eventually.
So at the end of the day, which camp do you think they support? Because now it seems as if the Mchuru camp is very, very weak.
It would be simplistic to just say the army supports Emmerson Mnangagwa, or the CIO supports Emmerson Mnangagwa, or the police Chiwuri supports Joyce Mujuru, because those entities are not homogeneous. They're made up of different people with different interests. So you might find that people at the top level might support one faction, but people in the lower echelons of the army, of the police, or the intelligence might support somebody else. So it's not as simple just to say that maybe the intelligence Bonyongwe is going to support the Mnangagwa. It's not as simple as that, because it's different individuals, it's different ranks with different interests.
That was political analyst Dumisani Nkomo of Habakkuk Trust speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa are believed to be leading the two factions, say to be eyeing the presidency. President Robert Mugabe, at 90, could be running his last term of office.
Direct from Washington, the Voice of America, VOA.
A Zimbabwean company, Sefken Holdings, will next month hold a business expo in Kariba designed to cater for the interests of local and international businesses. Company director Maxtone Kanema tells Studio 7 companies will be displaying and selling their products at the expo.
It is running for the third time this year. We launched it in 2012. So this time is the third edition of the exhibition. And another unique thing about the expo is that it mixes the big players. We are talking of the listed companies and the smallest SMEs that you can think of. The way they come together, they share marketing skills, form synergies among others. But basically, it's a marketing exposition.
So what type of companies are you going to bring in there? And are they paying anything to participate in that expo?
The organizations are buying space, and we are saying it's not much though. For the big corporates, they pay 150 only for a cent, and then the SMEs, they pay $75 for the SME tables, and we've got the smallest category for the free markets and others, they just pay $30 for the 3 days.
Now, how effective is this strategy in terms of bringing out what these companies are all about?
From the preceding years, we've discovered that those that wish to be taken seriously in the Caribbean and surrounding areas, that is in the market, they can take advantage of this growth. You get to get feedback from the users and the consumers of your product or services.
That was Sefken Holdings Director Maxton Kanema speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. A Zimbabwean cultural group, Masie Pambili Cultural Association, will tomorrow hold a Ndebele Cultural Day in Gaborone, Botswana. Group member Tokozani Tumani Mlalazi says the annual event is designed to nurture some important cultural norms that benefit Zimbabweans, especially children living outside the country. Mlalazi tells Studio 7 these programs are crucial in preserving important cultural norms.
So what we do every year around October, November, we gather together all the Ndebele people, and we have a cultural day whereby we teach our children our cultures as a Ndebele nation. And then we cook traditional food and serve it to the people who are there.
Do you have any special issues that you're going to be highlighting at this kind of event?
The main thing that we teach our children that this Ndebele, it entails a number of tribes, ethnic tribes, which include the Kalangas, the Vendas, the Khoisas, who are speaking these languages, and we call them Ndebele. So what we do, we take cultures from each of these tribes, and we teach the people who are there. We teach our children. We explain our languages to our children.
And so we see that there are some various music groups that you have actually invited. Tell us who's coming and who's not coming there.
Okay, we have a group from South Africa that is going to come and provide entertainment for us. They will be just playing Maskandi music. And then we have also a group of girls called Amachichi. These, in our Ndebele tradition, are virgin girls. They will be also parading and dancing for us. And then, otherwise, these other groups are just Maskandi groups who come and play their music and also teach us how to dance.
And how many people are you expecting to come to this kind of, event?
This year we are charging a minimum fee of 20 kula for entrance for the adults and 10 kula for the children. And we are expecting plus or minus 500 people to attend.
That was Tokozani Tumani Mlalazi of Masie Pambili Cultural Association speaking with Studio 7 from Gaborone, Botswana. It's now time for the Women's Forum. Over to you, Marvelous.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Today we have the pleasure of speaking to Anna Sango, a woman who is a part of the international community of women living with HIV in Zimbabwe. And she is going to take us through her journey and her decision to have her second child, who is 4 months old, under a new program being offered by the Ministry of Health called Option B+, that seeks to reduce the transmission of HIV from mother to child. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Sango.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell us about your children. You said that you've had two using some methods that were recommended by your doctor. Tell us about your kids.
Basically, my first was in 2008, and that's actually when I found out about my status. So I was not on treatment, I was not on anything. I was going through antenatal care checkups, and that's when I did my blood test, and that's when I found out about my status. So what happened was my CD4 was 236, and the doctor decided that they have to put me on treatment for the sake of the unborn child that I'm carrying, since previously I was not on treatment or anything. I didn't know my status. So for the safety of my child and for me, I took the decision to say, now I'm going to take treatment. And then I went through a series of counselings before I took the treatment. And then everything went as per formula that is supposed to go. And now with the second child, I was a bit more informed. I knew more, and it was a process that now I've been working around, that I had lived as well. So it was a lot easier to go through the process now. But unlike when the first time when I was starting, everything was so new to me, to the extent that, you know, it was a bit also overwhelming. But yeah, with consistency and patience, I tried to get through the process.
Take us through the journey that you were faced with when you made the decision to have your second child, being a woman living with HIV.
For my case, I think the journey was a bit different because I was already on lifelong treatment. So it was an issue of just talking to the nurses to go through, you know, the do's and don'ts, what I need to do and what I don't need to do. But the case for, like, let's say if it's a woman who wasn't on ART, it's a bit different because that's when you actually be starting the lifelong treatment. So I guess it's a journey that needs consistency and patience, and that needs you to be dedicated to what you have decided to do.
When you made the decision, what were the steps that you needed to follow for somebody listening out there who is on ARVs and is looking at having a child? What can you advise them?
First and foremost is they need to first consult a health worker, go to their nearest clinic, to their doctor, and let them know that they want to have a child. And then the doctor can inform them on maybe, you know, when they can actually have unprotected sex with their husband, a period when they are ovulating. One thing I noticed is that usually with the practicality of that, sometimes that's not always the case with women, that they go to the doctor and let him know, and then they try when they are ovulating. Some just feel like, okay, I'm just trying on my own and doing. But the right thing would be you go to the doctor, you let him know, and then he lets you know when you're ovulating, that's when you can actually have unprotected sex with your husband. And then for a certain period of time, the doctor, your nurse, you'll be coming in for checkups and they'll be monitoring you. And once you do get pregnant and you are on ART, you continue taking your medication, continue taking medication consistently, you continue using condoms consistently, and up until, you know, you get to the point whereby you have to give birth, and then you give birth to your child, and then your child is given. Actually, the medicine they give is pertaining to the regimen of ART that you are taking as the mother.
Thank you very much, Marvelous Mdlanganya. We are tuning in next week for the second edition of this interview. And tonight we feature rising music star Perita Khumalo.
My name is Perita. I am a singer, songwriter, and guitarist. The title of the new album is called Songs of Empowerment. Linda Wuxie, oh my goodness. Linda Wuxie is also another special song. With Linda Wuxie, I think it's one of the first songs that I wrote for the album. And when I wrote this song, I was still trying to find the theme for the album. And Linda Wuxie basically translated means wait for good things to happen. And, you know, I've been in the industry for 2 years now. It hasn't been a smooth journey. There's been times when I wanted to give up on the music. But what kept me going is that I really love what I do, and I believe that it's my purpose. So through this song, I'm telling people to wait for good things to happen to them. And even if something may not be happening the way that you want it to happen, you just have to wait for good things to happen and believe.
Mbona Omai is a song, actually. It is in the first album, in the Conquering Spirit album. And you will notice that in the Conquering Spirit album, it's in English and Shona. But I got an opportunity after I released my first album to meet Baba Oliver Mtukudzi. And after meeting with Oliver Mtukudzi, he heard the song and he loved it. And he asked if we could do a version of the song where we could translate it into our own languages. So I translated the song into Ndebele and sang the chorus as it had been in Shona with Oliver Mtukudzi. And then it was not long before Brayuma Segela heard the song. And upon hearing it, he also loved the song. So he decided he wanted to add his trumpet to the song. So it became a powerful collaboration between me, Oliver Mtukudzi, and Yuma Segela.
And at times I tend to think that you are a politician because you've got one song, Ibuile Inkululeko. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, you know, I'm not a politician. I don't think I ever will be a politician. First of all, I don't understand politics. But, you know, as a young African woman, this is what I've seen in my streets. I've seen that sometimes our young people do not understand that, you know, our parents did not have the opportunities that we have. And with Ibuile Inkululeko, what I'm saying to young people is that the freedom is now ours in Africa. Let us walk together and let us build a beautiful Africa for ourselves together. So that's what the song is about. And the exciting thing about it is that it's got a nice feel as well. It's just about encouraging people to really enjoy the freedom and what we've been able to achieve in the past few years. Thanks very much, Perita Khumalo, for the interview. This was the second edition of the interview that we did with Perita Khumalo, and we're reviewing her latest album. Now to recap today's top stories. The Zimbabwe National Army says it has nothing to do with ZANU-PF factionalism currently ravaging the party ahead of its elective congress in December. A Zimbabwean company will next month hold a business expo in Kariba designed to cater for the interests of local and international businesses. And Zimbabweans living in Botswana organize a community event in an effort to preserve some important cultural norms. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Grande. This is Kip Stube in Washington. Good night.